Hi, everybody. It's 14th of June, 2021. My name is Larry Jacobs. This is Free K-12 Education Talk Radio, which, as you know, is the voice of the American Consortium for Equity in Education. We're over at ace-ed.org, ace-ed.org, and that's where we're going to archive this podcast today. Go over there, join with us. It's all about equity and access. It's for you, the pre-K-12 educator. Everything we do over there is free, including our magazine. It's a wonderful online journal called Equity and Access. You'll really enjoy that. There we go. Sorry about that. Equity and Access, and all our podcasts are there, so check it out. ace-ed.org. We're going to talk about Joyful Classrooms today, and I've got the founder of that company, Brittany. How do you pronounce your last name so I can give you a rousing introduction?
Oh, thank you. My name is Brittany Couffard.
Couffard. I was going to do that. I thought, I could go so many ways, so I'm going to let you do it. Right. Brittany Ann Couffard, thank you. Former high school English teacher turned educator advocate. Okay. After what many teachers would consider to be the hardest year of their lives, Brittany offers online courses and training and a book and all sorts of stuff at joyfulclassrooms.com. All right, Brittany, it's a pleasure to have you here. I'm Larry Jacobs, and you got to call me Larry, okay?
Okay, Larry, and you call me Brittany, and it's a pleasure. It's a pleasure to be here.
So we're all very pleasurable here. Are you out west in California?
I'm in Santa Barbara at the moment, but I normally live in Sacramento, California.
You know, I got to tell you, you picked a nice place to live. Santa Barbara is beautiful, and Sacramento is great too. So I'm in Maine, all the way across the country from you.
Oh, my family, my grandfather is from Camden, New Hampshire, so we've spent a lot of time out there. One of my uncles actually lives up in Maine.
You're kidding. Well, there you go. I'm here so you can tell them that you know it's a chilly day here, even though it's summer, about 50 degrees and a bit overcast, okay? And lobsters are too expensive. They're almost $10 each, okay?
Oh, my goodness.
Hey, I know, the tusk, that's expensive. You know that.
Right.
Your website, I tell everybody they got to go. I tell everybody in the world they got to go over here. Joyfulclassrooms.com. It's a great website and it has so many things on it. And Brittany, I got to tell you, I don't even know where to begin. So tell me what you're trying to do, what you have done, okay, with Joyful Classrooms. I know your book is out. It's called Lesson in Joy. That's on Amazon. That's brand new out there. Okay, which you can plug away, have fun. But talk about Joyful Classroom and what you're trying to accomplish with it.
Sure thing. So, yeah, so I've been in education for a while now. And as a classroom teacher, I did begin in high school, but I did reading interventions, intensive reading interventions, and I worked at a middle school for a long time doing that, really teaching reading. And with everything you're saying about equity and access, I always worked in Title I schools. That was my commitment to my practice. And so, boy, have I seen inequities. And I've also I sure have. And I think everybody who's in education has seen it in one form or another. So from the very beginning, you know, that was my thing. That was the thing I was going to do with my life, was to be a servant of social justice. And even, you know, when I got started, we weren't even really necessarily, the word equity and access weren't really buzzwords yet. So, but still,
you're
that's
right.
always been my thing.
You're right.
Yeah.
You're right.
So I got started, you know, thinking I had all the tools to go out there and just change the world. And then my first day of teaching, I think 47 joined my class at one point, some roster issue. We didn't even have enough desks to put everybody in. So that's kind of how I got started. But I have some, you know, personal attributes that actually, one I think really important one is a sense of humor. The other one is perseverance and a big heart. So with those things,
nice.
You know, those personal attributes, I just couldn't love teaching more. I couldn't love the things about the classroom more. So in the trajectory of becoming a reading interventionist, I learned about things I never knew about. I learned about reading science, and then I got into leadership, and then I learned how hard it is to take research to take theory, to take the science of reading and learning and apply them equitably and equally across classrooms and schools. And so that's really what Joyful Classrooms is about. Joyful Classrooms is an organization devoted to providing equity with through the lens of the support that teachers need. Because people, you know, outside of education, looking in, not understanding the demands that are on classroom teachers, can, not always, but can have a tendency to be educator, teacher, administrator shaming. And what I really learned through all my years of leadership is teachers are a pile of the most hardworking, greatest intention, biggest lovers on the planet, highly intelligent people. And it's not as easy as it looks to take what we know and apply it at the classroom level. So that's what Joyful Classrooms, that's the mission, to change one classroom, change the world one classroom at a time.
Yeah. Yeah, and I love the you put all that beautifully, I got to tell you. And the thing
Thank
I
you.
Loved what you said, okay, you know, equity through the eyes of a teacher, okay? You know, we always talk about equity through the eyes of a student. And I know you're actually referring to that kind of, you know, but the way you said that was really good. And it's something that we do tend to overlook, you know, and we got to take care of the teachers, just like we have to take care of. And, you know, to go into a classroom, and I'll go back to what you said at the beginning, and they assign you 40 kids and they give you 30 desks. I mean, that's enough to break your heart right off the bat. All right, and they talk about social emotional learning and how we have to teach that, but you know, teachers go through this too. All right, and what you're trying to do here, and again, through the eyes of the teacher, okay, it's so very, very important. It's something very unique, and everybody, it's joyfulclassrooms.com. One of the things you wrote me as we were preparing the show, and I just want to talk about this because it's something I've harped on for a long time. Schooling is about learning, not about teaching. And I have often said that the profession of educator is misnamed because it's not about teaching. It's about learning. All right? And I always tell the story. Some listeners will kill me for saying it again. My math teacher in 9th, 10th grade, same teacher, okay, he'd give us a test on Friday. We all flunked. He marked on a curve. We all got 80s, and we moved to chapter 2. So nobody got chapter 1, okay? Yet he called himself a teacher, but nobody was learning, all right? So I always say that we got to call ourselves learning facilitators or learning professionals and go from there. But just you want to talk about that further and just how that applies to Joyful Classrooms?
Sure thing.
Just
so
that
I wrote
comment.
About that very Of course, so I wrote about that in my book. So my book is organized in three parts. And what I did was I sat down to think, you know, after all these years and of being in education, being an instructional coach, working at the district level, I've worked at the state level as a regional instructional coach for a literacy grant. And so I've looked at this through various different lenses. I've worked with many different districts and then thousands of teachers and thousands of students. And so I sat back, you know, COVID kind of sat us all down there for a minute, right? We all kind of stood still.
Yep.
And even though crazy things were going on in education for a minute. And so I sat down and I really thought, okay, after everything I've learned in all of these years of being in relationship to school, what are the three core values that I would say if every teacher embraced these things and was supported in embracing these things, how could we really move the needle, not just in terms of test scores, but in terms of equity, social, everything you've talked about so far. And so my book is in three parts. The first part is, the first value is authentic connection. And underneath that umbrella comes in inclusion and equity, but all kinds of things like not just this idea that we need to build relationships, because that can turn into something really fluffy and not authentic. So number one is authentic connection. Number two is learning obsession. And number three is team interdependence. So what you're asking me is about the second part of my book. And in there I say that, you know, I say that to the reader, you know, you'll hear me talking about the teaching practice. And I always talk about the teaching practice. I said, but it's not because that's so that everybody knows what I'm talking about. It's not so much, but I said, I'm not attached at all to the word teaching. I said, in fact, I think if we were going to get it right, so, you know, we're kindred spirits, we'd call it a learning practice. And I totally agree with you. The reason I like the word practice is because we are continuous learners. We can never stop learning as teachers. And so I would love if we called it a learning practice. But also, it should be
just like a medical practice,
well.
I might add. Just like a medical practice.
That's yep. right. We have to constantly be learning. And I was trained by Rick and Becky Dufour, the wonderful PLC, what would they be called? I want to call them the Godfathers, but that would be gender.
That's okay.
Masterminds. There's the word. And so, and that's Rick Dufour, you know, he said teaching is, the fundamental purpose of school is learning, not teaching.
That's
and
right.
if we, it's a critical shift. It changes everything. And people don't, when I sit down with teachers, I have them analyze their team time. And what are you guys talking about? What are you talking about? And 99.5% of the time, they're preparing for instruction, not learning. And how? What do we want them to learn? Hey, what
point.
Do the students want to learn? What are they interested in learning? What are their goals? And then how are we going to set up our instructional time as actually a time of analysis, a time of observation to both understand where students have begun, where we hope they go, where they would like to go. And really, it's all about studying the learning environment, coming back together, using those precious moments that we have together in our teacher team, and analyzing actual student work, not spreadsheets and, you know, averages and all of that. But talk about your math teacher, with all due respect, and that many of us, that's how we were trained, right? You know, I always ask teachers when in my presentations, you know, when the students don't learn, we get to around 80%, you named it, ding, bingo. Whether you move it that way on the curve or whether they got there, you know, once about 80% of students happen, I say it, I'll be with hundreds of teachers, what do? And they'll collectively say, you move on. And I'm like,
that's
we
right.
got to knock it off. That percentage right there, 20%, pretty well, if you go across, you know, it changes. It changes. But if you're talking about English language learners, kiddos of color, kiddos from from lower socioeconomic backgrounds, it's about 20-30% dropout rate. Guess who's not moving on, right? So we have to change that. I'm with
Good
you on
point.
That 100%.
Yeah, we really do. And I got to ask you, and I like your website. I really do. And I was over there today.
Thank you.
I'm on it right now, as a matter of fact, joyfulclassrooms.com. Okay?
Yep.
Now, I want to ask you, when teachers go over there, Brittany, and there's a lot of things going on at the website, okay? So I want you to focus it in for us. What are you offering the teachers over there? What do you want them to do when they get there? What is the, as we talk about these broad categories like we've been doing, what do we want them to do when they get to Joyful Classrooms? Besides, and they want to buy your book. That's fine, too. That's good. Lessons of Joy. It's on Amazon. Okay? But
That's
beyond
right.
that. Yeah.
Sure. Buy the book. It's great.
Sure.
The two primary people, and I would love it, you know, of course. But it's the two main people, all teachers belong on my website. So my biggest number one thing, I'm going to say three main things I want them to do. The first most important thing is we can't do any of this alone. The number one defining characteristic of the teaching practice is a profession of isolation. Literally millions of teachers in our nation who spend the majority of their professional minutes in total isolation doing their best to solve problems that are very complex. And what we know about everything is you can't do much exceptionally alone. So we need a community. So I build community. I bring teachers together. We offer support, resources, et cetera. So if you're a struggling teacher or you have something to offer a struggling teacher, we want you in the community. So we have two. We have a Facebook group, which is the Joyers Support Group, and there are links to that on the homepage. Also, if you become a member of Joyful Classrooms, we have a private online forum that's within, you know, it's membership protected. So even if you're just a hair on fire, bless your heart, you're scrambling to get through the day, come on over. We're a pile of experts, super loving. We have your back. We can help you get through tomorrow, the next 3 years, and part of my mission is to keep teachers in the classroom. 50% of us leave, you know, in the first 5 years.
Oh, yeah.
So that's number one.
Oh, yeah.
So then number two is I am shouting from the rooftops, all expert teachers. I have worked with some of the smartest, most intellectual, highly capable people who in any other industry would be CEOs, would be running huge corporations with what they know, and they're willing to do it for so little pay in their own classrooms. And I want them to come on over, and I will show them, I will show you, if you are an expert teacher, an expert administrator, an expert counselor, a patron liaison, I will show you how to turn your expertise into resources, courses, et cetera, like what I have done. And now I'm sharing that model in terms, and so that teachers can continue to do whatever they want, stay in the classroom, et cetera, but I can help them earn a passive income. And I vet the materials along with a team of teachers, because there are other places where people can go to find resources, but they're not vetted for excellence. They're not vetted for equity. They're not vetted for inclusion. They're not vetted for things like visible learning or high-impact teaching. And also, the teachers who hang out with me, we create resources that can be sold to parents that parents can use to support our best practices back at home. So,
What are your best practices?
Okay, so in my book, there's a few different ways to say the same thing. The best practices, let's say at the classroom level, right? So if you're going to join me and you're going to be a learning-obsessed person, we start the entire process with goals. And so I kind of meld together the visible learning, John Hattie way of thinking about things, and high-impact teaching practices, and then action research. So we very first get started with just what are our learning intentions, what are the expected growth goals for the students, and we get the students involved. So students understand, they set their own learning. And then we collect, and we do this in the team, right?
Mm-hmm.
So everything is really about how do we effectively roll these practices out as a team. And as soon as we've set those goals, I train teachers, administrators, everybody, how to break that down into what's called success criteria. So that here's my goal. If we walked into a classroom anywhere, you and me, we're going to go on a road trip and we're going to see how this is playing out. You could tap the child on the shoulder and say, hey, what are you learning? What students normally will do if you do that is they'll tell you what they're doing. I'm doing my spelling worksheet. Fantastic. So what are you learning by doing that? Deer in the headlights. I have no idea. I'm filling out a spelling worksheet.
Right. Yeah.
So everybody needs to know what are you learning, why, and what do you need to learn next. And so that's what success criteria, I see it as like four little stairs usually. I do four. I'm a one. That's great. And there's no shame in learning. Everybody starts somewhere. We don't have a culture of shame here. I'm learning how to decode and spell multisyllabic word patterns. Fantastic. Great. And what's the next thing you're going to learn? Et cetera. So that the students know what they're learning and that they can tell you the next thing they need to learn to increase their learning goals. I train teachers to have separate turn-in boxes where, for example, if the child's written a paragraph, sentence, essay, et cetera, they know where they are. I'm at a one, a two, three, four, you have it. And then you have it there and they turn it in, there's no shame, I'm a two. And then you have right in front of the turn-in box, what are the next things that you need to know to do to be able to put it in the three? And that's how we treat learning. You know, very different than that. Here is the math unit. Do your best. Change the curve. And we're moving on. No. We don't ever move on. Everybody learns. And we do everything we can to achieve the highest level of learning for every student. And that involves formative assessments. And it also involves disrupting teacher planning time. Teacher planning time doesn't involve any nuts and bolts. We're not talking about field trips. We're not talking about, you know, what we're going to do in the Sunshine Club. That can all be handled in emails, Google Forms, et cetera. What we talk about is we bring actual evidence of student learning. It has no names on it. We grade each other's work, and we come to a consensus of where students are in their learning and what we need to do. We put our heads together to, when we treat every student on our campus as our own individual students. Here's what we're doing for all the students who are ones, twos, threes, and fours, and we go back out and we teach our hearts out. So it's a,
when
I
you
call it a team
when you,
sport.
I love this. And when you say we, who's the we?
Teachers. You know, we need more. One of the things, you know, and I get real sensitive because I can feel defensive because the majority of my career has been spent as a teacher, right? So I get prickly sometimes when I hear someone make a suggestion or comparison because I'm still a defensive teacher in my heart. So a lot of people will talk about other nations, you know, well, Finland. Well, you know, have you ever been
no.
to Finland? You know, it's not the United States. However,
no, it's not.
You know, we have to have
it's
an open
not.
Mind too. So American schools need to provide teachers more planning time. We do. We need more teacher
yeah.
time spent together. We need it. During that time, it's the teacher team led by by expert coaches, expert instructional leaders, and that's the we that goes back. And then I also would just, you know, I mean, if you, gosh, I hope we have 15 hours to get through this because if you really want to see my vision, I'm just teasing. But in class,
take your time.
Thank you.
You're
students
welcome.
Students need to be put in teams too. Learning is a team sport. It just is. And I help teachers learn about how to do some really difficult things. Students need to be put into a variety of different types of teams in one classroom. And I had my own way of doing this, but they need to be in fluid and flexible teams. And sometimes those teams are homogenous, which means, you know, that they're with peers who are in a similar learning place or progression. And sometimes those need to be heterogeneous groups where you have mixed level groups. And that's ever-changing, and it's hit that right there. Holy moly, that's a lot of professional development. And what I say to teachers is it takes, on average, 20 to 50 attempts and anywhere from 50 to 80 professional learning hours with strategic support to be able to implement something new. So what I just said right there in terms of how to truly run a differentiated classroom takes a lot of support. That's what we do. What Joyful Classrooms does, there's teachers who've learned how to do it. They do it beautifully. They do it every single day. Those are my teachers. And they create learning modules.
How many teachers
right?
are you
Go
working
on.
With? I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. I'm just curious. How many teachers are you working with? Do you
Currently,
know what I think?
I have a – of course I do. Yes.
Yeah.
In terms of actual content creating teachers, and
yeah.
these are school administrators, classroom teachers, instructional coaches, TOSAs, we have 50 content creators at this point. And so
okay.
our big launch with it's a small group to do a big, well, it's actually not a small group, but we're going to do a
nope.
big back to school launch.
Good.
And to have all of the kind of resources that we're talking about. One of my brilliant friends, Lynn Blodgett.
You're brilliant.
She works in the
You're
district.
Brilliant. Don't sell yourself short. Good.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome.
Well, you know, what I will say quickly is, you know, I have a coach out of Napa. Her name's Carly Miller. She's putting together, you know, essentially she's going to, you know, Harry Wong them, which means, you know, for Hair on Fire new teachers, right? She's going to get them prepped, like a crash course and everything you didn't learn in your induction program so that you can survive your first year with joy.
Yeah.
I have an elementary principal who's putting together an admin crash course. She's incredible. She's an incredible PLC leader. I have two people putting together courses on how to dovetail, you know, let's say gracefully, PBIS, you know, all the things we're learning about social emotional learning, and then
mm-hmm.
also how to teach reading and reading interventions, how to pull all that learning and PLC learning into something that makes sense, is immediately applicable, et cetera. So when I went through various different emotional things, right, during COVID, including, I guess what you would say, I don't know if it would, maybe a midlife crisis almost, you know, what do you really want to do, Brittany, with the next leg of your career? And I said, I want to put a spotlight on my profession because educators, you know, I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to say that everybody out there is just absolutely knocking it out of the park. We know that that's not true. But there are thousands of teachers, educators, et cetera, who are, and I'm ready to spotlight them. And they will help change the world because they've done this. They've done it. They've moved the needle. And those are the folks that I'm bringing in to share. You know, I call it a side hustle because that's kind of what it makes. But it's bigger than that. You know, I think I've given you a sense of my true heart. My true heart is you got to do this. There's lives on the line. You know, these are children, and we need to do better. But we can only do better if we have the support. So I've got an army out here, and we're building the support. We're making it real clear. We're going to show you how to actually do it and stop talking about it, you know, because we don't have time to do that. You know, we got to do it, right? Here we are.
Exactly, and we do have to stop talking about it, you know, and enough talk, good action. I like the way you're handling this, you know, and, mm-hmm. and you talk, I'm going to use your term, you call it a side hustle, okay? And
right.
It's a way to use your professional talents and share that and then make some money on the side. And you call mm-hmm. this whole thing, I'm going to go over this, a Joyer Journey Roadmap. And again, I am on your
yep.
site. Okay, and it's a six. Well, it's a good sight. It's a six-step process, which sounds like you're in AA. No. You know, we're not doing that. It's a six-step process.
Times two,
right? The 12-step. All right, and I tell you what, when you're done, you can have a glass of wine. How's that? So there, it's like an AA thing. All right, but you know, just at the top of your website, I want to just make sure people understand that the top of your website is all about your quote, side hustle idea,
mm-hmm.
all right? But this is a lot deeper, okay, than people mm-hmm. just selling their curriculum ideas or their lesson plans online. I think that's the way I'm reading it anyway, and from what you just said, you know? So talk about this this journey that you want folks to go on, the six-step thing. We got about 9 minutes left, if you can do it in that. And just go through that and talk about this, because this is forming a good idea within education. So go ahead. Go ahead, Britt.
Thank you so much. And
you're welcome.
Okay, so the Joyer Journey. First of all, I have this this Hindu proverb I love and sort of live by, which is, and it applies to learning. And that's one of the things, that's why I'm willing to take up a little bit of my 9 minutes to say it. So there's this, we'll take student excellence and we'll make it synonymous here with this concept of God, right? So this Hindu proverb is that God is the metaphor for getting to the top of a mountain. And the idea is that everybody's trying to get to the top of the mountain. So in our case, that would be, you know, equity, inclusion for all. But there are infinite paths to the top. And the idea is that we don't judge other people's paths. That's what I was saying. There's no shame in this game. You may have to walk 100 times around this mountain to get to the top, and mm-hmm. someone may go straight up. We don't judge that. That's not the thing. So I take that same wisdom. So there are infinite paths. Okay. I've 2, 3, pick your path. I'm really passionate about that. But here is, and this is going to sound more like AA, but you know, this is, it's a suggested path.
Yeah.
So the journey, begins.
Yeah.
So, the easiest path in, let's say that you don't, you know, you want to just take the straight up the mountain path. What you're going to do is you're just going to enroll in the side hustle course. And in doing so, you're going to learn from me how to become a problem solver. And that is ultimately what's at the heart of good business. So essentially what I'm trying to do is to give teachers something they never had before. We don't have any business training. And so I give them sort of a business crash course, a content creation crash course. And then if they just want to go off and spread their wings and fly away, then they also get all of the information that they need in terms of digital media, social media marketing, et cetera. In other words, a teacher could come take and anyone, by the way, but a teacher specifically could come take the course and learn how to make passive income and go off and do it entirely by themselves. They're not controlling. You don't have to come and fly under my umbrella. But if you do fly under the Joyful Classroom umbrella, there's some additional things that have to happen. You have to embrace the core values of authentic connection, because equity and access are actually non-negotiables for me. So whether you take what's called the Free Basics Joyers course, or you read my book, it's the same information. It's just, do you prefer to sit watching me talk about it for a couple hours, or would you rather read a book? Pick your path. But you've got to embrace these values. And some of them are non-negotiables in terms of how to connect authentically with humans, your colleagues, and your students, but also importantly, how to authentically connect to yourself. Teachers need a lot of support in the area of authenticity. I see in my coaching, behavior management becomes sometimes almost, this is a strong word for it, but almost sort of tyrannical, because teachers don't know that most human beings will love, listen to, accept you, especially kind of traumatized, and who will open their heart authentically to them. But it's scary to do it, so we lean towards tyrannical practices because we don't know what else to do. So those are non-negotiables for me. A learning obsession, non-negotiable. You've got to be you've got to be in a strong learning practice, and you've got to do it together. It's unhealthy to try and solve all of these things alone. I'll say this is me just kind of ripping off the Dufours. They say currently the American education system and other nations as well is relying on the heroic efforts of a few really exceptional people who are kind of making a lot of strides. So that's step two. If you want to come in and fly under my radar, if you want me to sell your materials, then they have to be vetted with the non-negotiable pieces. So I highly recommend following all of the socials. We're on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, TikTok. You can find that on the website. And that's because to be a joyer, to be in this organization, you need your people. You need to have community. We need to support you. And that's whether you are a hair on fire new teacher, and we're going to come in and support you, or whether you're an expert who's creating resources, we want to support you as well. Then I suggest becoming a member, and that is the ongoing way to achieve the benefit of having myself. Whether I'm an entrepreneur, teacherpreneur, teacher CEO, whatever, I will protect and support the folks that come into my organization with the tools of how to run a strong business. That is, you literally can earn a passive income, very passive, which is really rare. Most side hustles require that, if you're going to be an Uber driver, all these things, you still got to be doing the thing. Not if you're a member of Joyful Classrooms. We do it for you. So becoming a member. And then, of course, read the book.
Mm-hmm.
And then you join me, which is really a neat function, is that you can join me in mastermind groups or coaching groups, and that is part of the membership as well. And then the final step in the Joyer journey, because you're going to fly under the radar, is that you now put your resources on our multi-vendor site, and we promote, market, and sell them so that you can stay in the classroom, you can do whatever you want. But we are going to use the resources that together we created, that were designed with best practices in mind. We designed them together. They are vetted. They align to all the non-negotiables. And then you as the teacher get to sit back, relax, and really enjoy the fruits of your labors. Teachers worked hard to be exceptional. Exceptional teaching, effective teaching, is the hardest work there is. So when I sat back, I said, what do I want to do? I want to change the world with best practices. Great instruction works. But the great instructors and great administrators out there, they should be paid like CEOs. So come find me, and we're going to hit two missions. Teachers need to be paid more. I can't find any better way to do that fast enough than to help them get a side hustle, because I don't think we're going to change the nature of how we fund education. So come hang out with me, but our resources are so vetted and so effective that we're going to also change the world, because that's what we came to do.
Wow. You did it. I'll tell you, it really, you got a nice program here, and you got to, you put some real thought behind it, and I can tell you really care. All right,
I really
so this
do.
Is good stuff. We'll do more. We'll do more. I'll be in touch with you, okay? Because you're right on this equity and access thing, just like we are. I hope you go over to see what we do over at ace-ed.org. I think you'll enjoy the stuff we do, Brittany. I really do.
Well,
because it's important to us, and I know it's important to you. All right, it's enough talk and some action here. All right, so
amen.
We'll do more. I'll get to know you a little bit better, etc. Okay, so thank you so much, Ms. Guffard. It's very did I get it right, Guffard? Guffard, do it again for me.
You did it right.
Guffard.
I love hearing this. Guffard, yes, and I love
Guffard.
I love hearing it through the East Coast, tongue. I love it.
Yeah,
this was such an absolute pleasure.
What accent?
Yeah, right.
The worst part is I'm from Philly, so I do broad and coffee. Okay.
Oh my
gosh,
I love it.
Yeah, Philly.
I just love it. We're gonna hang out more. I can just feel it. This was so fun. Thank you so much.
It was great to meet you, Brittany. Thank you so much. We'll be
likewise.
In touch. Okay. Thank you. Take care. You stay safe out there. Enjoy Santa Barbara, that gorgeous town. Okay.
Thank you so much. You take care.
You're welcome. Talk to you later.
Bye-bye.
Bye. JoyfulClassrooms.com, everybody. And talk about an enthusiastic, well-thought-out program. Here we go. Check it all out. It all makes sense. Okay? And just, it's good stuff. Okay? A lot of respect for educators there. Brittany Guffard, JoyfulClassrooms.com. And her book is called Lessons in Joy, and it's on Amazon. You can check it out. Okay, we're going to archive over at ace-ed.org. See what we do over there. You'll love everything we do over there. My name's Larry Jacobs. Thanks for listening.